Our reading today comes from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your words with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform the signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. We're really grateful to welcome Rima, who is one of our curates, to come and speak to us now.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, it's a real privilege to speak this morning on prayer. When God moves, the church prays. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at what happens as God moves, that the church prepares and gets ready, that we ask God to make us ready for whatever he has for us, that the church, that when God moves, Jesus is central, that people look at Jesus and love him, that the church sings, there is singing in the church, and that people fear God above everything else. And last week we looked at resistance, that there is pushback from the enemy as God moves. And in all of this, the thread is prayer. Prayer is the backdrop to the picture. Prayer is what's in the atmosphere. Prayer is what is in common. The church prays, seeking God, asking him to search us. The church prays when we see Jesus, when we see his beauty and his majesty and his awesomeness. We can't help but pray as we express our love for him. The church prays as it sings. We sing our prayers to God. The church prays as we fear God above everything else, as we honour him, as we put him in his rightful place as God. The church prays when there is resistance. We ask for the strength of God to be with us, to fill us. Prayer is the most natural response to God. When God comes close, the people pray. There are a couple of different words for prayer used in the New Testament, but what is common is that we use language to express something to God. We bring to God our request, we ask him for something, or we bring out thanksgiving or adoration. My dad tells me that when I was 4 years old, I asked him what the poorest country in the world was. Apparently I had a lot of questions as a four-year-old. And after some guesses, he did some research, and at the time it was Mozambique. And so he said that I said to him, can we pray? Can we pray for Mozambique? And as I've grown older, I haven't always found it easy to pray. There have been times where praying is the absolute last thing that I want to do, and I've done everything that I could think of to avoid it. And then there's been other times when I felt that I have no other option but to pray. When things are tough, growing up, I had difficult circumstances in my home with my family, and there were health struggles, and then also just seeing people in hard situations. And there's been times where I felt there is no other option but to pray. And then there's other days when it's just so difficult to concentrate, to focus. I feel so distracted. And the prayer is, God, would you help me to pray? Would you give me the desire to pray? Even though there are times when praying can feel hard, it has become one of the greatest joys of my life to pray, to speak to God and to know that he is always listening, to speak with him about the small things and the big things. As the writer of the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, puts it, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. The word prayer will bring up different things for different people here. Some of us might feel that we've never been good at praying, that our prayers aren't good enough. We never know what words to use. Others of us will feel that we don't pray enough. Others will wonder if God is actually listening. Does God actually hear the prayers that I pray, or am I just talking to a wall? And others will know the disappointment of not seeing prayer answered in the ways that we thought it could. The invitation from God to us is to speak to him in prayer. We can speak to God about anything. This is the invitation for all Christians, not just a few. Everyone gets to pray. We speak to God and he hears us. His ear is turned towards us. And even when prayer feels hard and we don't understand why some prayers are answered in some ways and others not, the promises found in Scripture tell us that he is still with us. He is still there. He is always available. Our passage for this morning is found in the book of Acts, where we see what happens as God moves, as he pours out his spirit and the church is birthed. We see the story of the early church. And the church in Acts are a church that prays. We see them praying through the book of Acts. They pray as they gather in the upper room. They pray as they make decisions and appoint leaders. They pray as people are sent out on journeys. They pray for the sick. They pray giving thanks at times. They pray when they are in jail, when Paul and Silas are in prison. They pray when they are in the middle of a storm. We see Paul praying. The church is described as being devoted to prayer. They pray at different times, in the morning, at night, through the day. They pray in different circumstances, when it's good, when it's tough, when they can see a way through, when they can't. They pray on their own individually, and they pray together with other believers. The church in Acts is a church that is unceasing in prayer. In our passage this morning in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have just been released after their arrest. They have been arrested because they were part of a healing. God worked through them and a lame man was healed. And then they went on to proclaim to the people the good news about Jesus. And so we get to the point in the story where they have just been released from their arrest, and they go back to some other Christians and they tell them what has happened, all that has taken place. And their response is to pray. They pray with Peter and John, and we get to read their prayer in Acts chapter 4. Who are they praying to? This is how they start in verse 24. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. We pray to a big God. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the one who holds all time and history. He is the one who reigns. He's the creator. He's the creator of the heavens, of the earth, of the sea and the sky and the sun and everything in it. He's the creator of us. He holds us. He holds everything in this universe. It's his. It belongs to him. He gets the final say. There is no one else more powerful. There is no one else with more might. There is no one else like him. This is who we pray to. We pray to a big God. And who we're speaking to, it matters. It matters who we pray to. It makes all the difference. I spent some time working for a well-known organization looking at a device called the Echo, also known as Alexa. And if you haven't seen it before, it's essentially a virtual assistant. So you can ask it to do things. So you could say, Alexa, can you play me a song? Or Alexa, set a timer. Or you can ask Alexa a question. And this was around 8 years ago, so it was in the early stages of technology. And so often what would happen is someone would ask something for Alexa, and Alexa would not do what was requested. So someone might ask, Alexa, who's the captain of the England football team? And Alexa would play a dance anthem. Or, Alexa, what's the government's policy on this? And Alexa would announce the weather. It seemed like in the early stages, Alexa would just do anything to get out of certain topics. But my job was to listen to what people said to Alexa and analyze why the device got things right or wrong. But when people were speaking to Alexa, there was no real relationship there. Alexa doesn't love you. Alexa doesn't care for you. Alexa isn't working things for your good. Alexa didn't die for you. Sometimes Alexa was listening and sometimes not. But we speak to a God who listens, a big God who is actually listening to us. We speak to a God who loves us. We speak to a God who cares. We speak to a God who is working all things for our good. We speak to a God who died for us. He is completely for us. We're speaking to a God who is all-powerful, and yet on our side. And so when we catch a vision for who God is, that he is a big God, we can pray big prayers. We know who God is and what he's like, and so we can come before him with faith and expectation that he can and he will act on our behalf. A few months before I moved to Oxford, I was at a church in London. And I remember one day at the end of a service, the lady came and spoke to me with her mum. Her mum was a member of the church. And this lady, she was back in London just for a couple of weeks, just for a short time period. She actually lived abroad. And she came and spoke to me with her mum at the end of the service, and she explained that she had just found out that she had this huge cyst. And she was particularly concerned about it because she was going to get married in a couple of weeks. And so there were lots of things she was worried about. Worried about, she'd been told that she had to go in for surgery, have an operation for it. And so she was worried about the timing, worried about when the operation would happen. And she was also really worried about her future and her fertility. And so her mum had rounded up people in the church and people were praying. There were different kinds of people praying, retired people, mums, just anything, anyone she could find, they were praying. And so we sat down at the end of this service and we prayed again, this lady and her mum and me, and we asked that Jesus would heal her. And I got a text later that week. And the cyst originally had been 6 centimetres long. And the doctors did the scan and they were absolutely shocked because it had somehow gone from 6 centimetres to 2. And they didn't understand how it just suddenly... they said it had burst, but they said it should have been incredibly painful. There is no way that that she wouldn't have felt pain from something that size bursting. And she hadn't felt anything. And she went in for a scan some time after that, and it had completely gone. And so she got up on her wedding day and told everyone what had happened, that she believed that Jesus had healed her in the response to the prayers of those praying for her. People were praying, the church was praying. In this prayer in Acts chapter 4, the church's requests are daring. They pray that Peter and John would speak the message with boldness. This is even though they had experienced threats from the religious authorities and they didn't know what would happen if they would be put back in jail or worse. And yet the prayer of the church is this, that they would speak with boldness. This is a big prayer and they believed that God could do it despite the circumstances, despite the fear, that God could fill them with courage to speak the message. This church, they are praying this together with one voice, passionately crying out to God on behalf of Peter and John. There is something significant that happens when we gather, when we join together and pray together with other believers. Our hearts are stirred, our spirits moved as we hear the prayers of other people. Faith rises in the room. When we hear the cries of other people's hearts to God, there is agreement between us and God draws us together in unity. As Christians, we pray to the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is living in us, dwelling in us, praying in and through us. And this means that we can pray the things that are on the heart of God. We can pray the things that are the purposes of God. This prayer that the church prays for boldness with all the circumstances, it makes no human sense, but God puts it on the hearts of the people to pray because this is a prayer for the advancement of the kingdom of God. This is a prayer that will make the gospel of Jesus Christ known. And so God presses it on the hearts of the people. When we know God, when we walk with him, when we love him, he presses the things that are on his heart onto ours. Can I encourage you this month to come, to arise, to be praying? You don't have to wait to pray. But there is something powerful that happens when we pray gathered together. Arise is our main prayer meeting as a church, our time for intercession, to pray for the needs of our church, of our city, of our world, and to bring that to God. When we pray, we say that we need God. We depend on him. We cannot do this ourselves. We have a big God. And so we can pray big prayers, and we see big answers. This is the invitation. This is the way that God has designed it. He invites us to partner with him as he acts in the world. We ask and he responds. The church in Acts pray, saying, "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders." And God hears them. The place physically shakes. Then they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we read through the book of Acts, this happens. There are miracles. People are healed. There are signs and wonders. And people proclaim the news about Jesus boldly. And it happens through the church. They are a part of it. I heard an amazing story this week that has happened in our church family. And there's someone part of our church family. He's been suffering for a long time with kidney deterioration. His kidneys were failing. And he was on a list for a long time waiting for a kidney transplant. And there have been lots of people praying for him, praying in this church, part of this congregation. They have been praying for him. And he shared this in his group. He's part of a midweek group. And he was telling his group about his circumstances. And someone in his group heard this and was so moved. And he thought, "I've got two kidneys. I could give him one." And so they went through the tests, and there were a lot of things that needed to match up. Blood work, medical things, lots of things that needed to fall into place for this to be possible. And miraculously, it was possible. And so this person went in for surgery for the kidney transplant. And as the doctors got to the surgery, they found a blood clot. They weren't looking for it. They didn't know it would be there, but it was just right there in front of them. And if this blood clot at any point had been dislodged, it would have gone straight to the person's heart and caused instant death. But because it was right there, the doctors were able to take it out. And so, in the absolute sovereignty and grace and love of God, they could take out that blood clot. It was amazing. It was a miracle that the kidney transplant could happen. But the miracle on top of the miracle was that the blood clot could have been anywhere in his body. It could have been on the other side of his body. But God responded to the prayers, and so it took place at that time, on that side of his body, and in those circumstances. And they are both recovering well. Isn't it amazing what God can do and what he does? Big God, big prayers, big answers. Things happen when we pray. Things change when we pray. The enemy will do everything that he can to keep you from a life of prayer, to derail your prayer life. He will distract you. He will steal your attention. He will bid for your affection. He will discourage you to keep you from praying. Why? Because things happen when we pray. Things shift when we pray. Blind eyes get open. People get up and walk. People get provided for. People get healed. The dead come back to life. People know that they are loved because we come in the name of Jesus. We come through the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the most powerful name, the most worthy name, the most precious name. When we pray in the name of Jesus, and it gives glory to God. God gets the glory. And so instead of thinking, my prayers aren't good, my prayers are never good enough, which really is a focus on ourselves, can we ask God to help us to shift our focus onto Him? What could God do with the prayers that I offer? What could God make possible when I pray in the name of Jesus? When I pray in the name of the Lord, is anything too hard for Him? As the church, we stand in the gap between what is not yet and what could be possible with God. We stand in the gap between what is dead and what can come back to life. So don't wait to pray. Don't wait for a Sunday. Don't wait for the next prayer meeting. Don't wait till you feel spiritual. Pray. Pray at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. This is what God invites us into. He invites us to pray. This extraordinary life with Him, a life of prayer.